We're Dave and Darren, and this is Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. The movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader joins us here every Thursday to let us know what he thinks about the movies, the world of cinema. Ladies and gentlemen, make him feel welcome. It's our buddy Mike Schultz. Mike, how you been?
I'm pretty okay today.
Yeah. All right, good. Now, Dave said you saw five.
Yeah, I saw five. Yeah, I did see a lot. Like I mentioned, I did not get to the sixth one, but yeah, we did five otherwise.
I don't think you have anything to apologize for.
Bad. Yeah. I think the one that I blew off, the Gerard Butler Kandahar movie, mm-hmm. I think it's already gone after today.
So, it never happened.
So exactly. So I lucked out there.
You and he both dodged a bullet there.
Indeed. Him more than me, probably.
But, yeah. So let's get into it. The Little Mermaid. Okay. In reading your review, I'll tell you right now, the thing that bothers me the most in reading your review is if they don't have the chef going les poissons, chopping up the fish.
I love les poissons.
I love les poissons. That's like the best song in the whole thing.
It really is a good song. It's great. It's got the best lyrics, I think, of the whole movie.
Why would they take that out?
Because it's not designed to be funny. This movie is not designed as a laugh riot. But
it did really well.
It did much better than we expected, for sure.
That's true.
Did it do as well as the Super Mario thing?
No, not quite. But I think it's in second place after that one. But I saw so many families entering on Friday. I was like, oh, goodness gracious, this is going to be gigantic.
And you saw kids that had their mermaid dolls and they were ready to go.
Yeah, they were all set. And hopefully they had fun. They were kind of quiet, but it makes sense because it's not a funny movie. And and that's just a shame because the original is really funny. I think that people tend to forget how funny that movie is. But like the C number in the original is a hoot. It's got funny little, you know, musical moments, and Sebastian's great, but now it's all designed as this very weepy, earnest, romantic melodrama. And so it's fine, I guess, for what it is. It just isn't what it's supposed to be. And so you've got now an Under the Sea number, but it's not designed as funny, and it's not designed sharply, like where the cutting is like with the music, you know, where it's like, look how flashy and fun. And so it's just, it sits there, and it's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, I will say, as a parent, that would be a red flag for me, too, bringing a little kid to a movie that's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah. They didn't seem restless, though, which was nice, because I did expect a lot of, like, running up and down the aisles, and there wasn't kind of any at all. And I think that's mostly because Halle Bailey, who plays the lead, is so good, is so just kind of magical to watch. She's really invested in it, and she's empathetic and gorgeous and sings beautifully. And so I think, and most of the people in the audience, as you can imagine, were little girls. And so I think there was like a lot of, you know, starry-eyed princess syndrome going on with the audience going, oh, you're just so, you're pretty and
right.
I want you to be happy and stuff. So, I think the people who see it are probably going to like it a lot, but I'm such a fan of the original, you know, didn't hold a candle.
So would you say you liked it or would you?
No. I didn't. And it's got some bad casting choices otherwise. Melissa McCarthy is decent, but she's basically doing a Pat Carroll imitation as the Sea Witch. David Diggs, who plays the crab, can't pull off a Jamaican accent. And so it's like, well, why are you even cast in this role? You know, I mean,
because he's David Diggs.
Because you're David Diggs. Yeah. Or just, you know, what accent can you do?
Yeah, do, we'll that, do that one.
Oh, yeah. You know, who says...
He doesn't have to be Caribbean. Yeah.
Right. No, that made sense because of who the actor was.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. That's it.
You saw a movie called You Hurt My Feelings. That's the Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie.
I read one review that started with the author saying, I love titles that are complete sentences. And I was like, yeah, me too. Actually, that's kind of great. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's so funny.
Really?
It is. Yeah, it's about as much as I've laughed at the movies in about a year. It's so well written. And we talked about this last week. It's about an author who overhears her husband talk about how he hates the drafts of her first novel that's coming out after.
Oh, it's her first novel?
Yeah. She wrote a memoir, like a life story, and this is like her first novel. And she's written like 24 drafts that she's made her poor husband read. And every single one, he's like, honey, it's the greatest. No one's going to not like this. And then she sneaks up on him in a department store, and he's like telling his friend, oh, that just sucks. It's just a bad book. And so her whole world gets turned upside down by this.
And can't let it go.
Yeah. And it's all about lying to your spouse to make them feel happy in the moment. And
little white lies, huh? And some that aren't so little white.
When you get busted, you pay for it forever. It's beautifully cast. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is so great. Michaela Watkins, we talked about playing her sister. It's about time.
Right.
Man.
Is that the first time they've done that?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Now, did she have the same look on her face from time to time as she did in the movie Downhill?
Yes. It was a lot of, what did you just do to me? She's so great. Man, we need more Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the movies. She's tremendous. It was a great film, though. It was so much fun.
That seems like it's your favorite of the five.
I had a blast.
Not even close, huh?
Not even close. I loved it.
What is The Starling Girl?
Oh, that's one about a teenage girl, 17-year-old in rural Kentucky, who falls in love with her 28-year-old married youth pastor and vice versa. And so that gets a little uncomfortable, imagine. It's well done. It's a good melodrama. It's felt very after school special-y to me, you know?
Where is that showing?
That was in Moline.
Okay.
I think it's probably leaving also today, but it's also going to be in Iowa City for another week. But Eliza Scanlon, who plays the lead, is tremendous. She's really good. And the romantic lead, the youth pastor, is Lewis Pullman, who is Bill Pullman's son.
Oh, wow.
And he looks just like Bill Pullman, but like a really handsome version of Bill Pullman.
Hmm.
It was already a great looking guy, you know? They were terrific together. It had that problem that most movies about the religiously devout do in terms of like, they're basically stereotypical monsters, you know, don't trust them with all their smiling and coffee cake, you know, bad times ahead, but it was well done.
I thought it was very interesting that there were two movies by two stand-up comics of some renown opening up in the same weekend.
And they're both about hanging out with their dad.
Right.
So it should have been like a Father's Day weekend.
Maybe that would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, but seriously, like the same plot. Very strange. Yeah.
Let's get started with The Machine.
The Machine, okay. So this is Bert Kreischer. He's the comedian who's with the dad bod who never wears a shirt. And he apparently has like this hugely popular routine about when he was in college and went over to Russia and got infiltrated with a Russian mob. And I mean, all sorts of bad things happened, but that's like what he's known for, I guess. I didn't know this until
that's his stand up.
That's like his shtick. That's the thing that
when you go and see him, it's like, tell about when you were the machine.
The machine story.
He went to Russia and it was like right at the 90s. When things were opening up, but the mafia, the Russian mob was still running things.
Yeah, right.
And he, it's just like Mike said. He runs into them, and then they're on a train, and then he only knows how to say "I am." He meant to say something, but it came out "I am the machine" because he didn't speak Russian very well.
Okay.
And it's this whole bit. Like once you see it, it's like
okay.
I can't imagine making a movie out of it.
So the movie is like it's that routine and its sequel at the same time. Mm-hmm. So he has to go back to Russia for reasons passing understanding, where he has to return something he stole from the Russian mafia in the 90s. So he and his dad, played by Mark Hamill, go over to Russia to try to find this, you know, this little tchotchke that he stole that might still be in the country. So we get flashbacks to the 90s story with another actor playing Bert Kreischer as a 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. And then we have, now it's 30 years later, and me and Dad are in Russia trying to avoid the mobsters and stuff. It's incredibly violent, which I didn't expect. It is gory. It is gross. It's like Evil Dead 2 gross. And it's not terribly funny, but it's got an idea behind it. You know, it's not like just throw Bert Kreischer on the screen and look at him shirtless and we'll laugh. You know, it's actually pretty well constructed. He's not terribly interesting or funny, I don't think, but his fans were having fun at the screening I went to.
Yeah.
They were all sitting alone. It was like four or five guys just showed up by themselves in a big bucket of popcorn, and they roared at everything that man said. Even when it wasn't remotely funny.
Mark,
they had a blast.
Mark Hamill has been surprisingly really good at comedy.
Yeah, he's strong.
Is he good in this?
Yeah, he's okay.
With what they give him.
He doesn't get to do a lot.
Okay.
But he does have, by the last 15 minutes, he kind of gets pretty high. And so he starts delivering his Joker giggle from the Batman series and stuff. And you're like, and so he lets loose. So they let him do some stuff. But it's weird because he's in crusty old man mode now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's still got the Robert Redford hair, so he doesn't look that old. But yeah, he's He's aged into grandpa roles.
And the other movie is about my father.
Yeah, that's Sebastian Maniscalco. Is that how you pronounce his name? I think that's right.
Sure.
And he's a comedian as well?
He's a comedian as well.
He's maybe like the biggest one right now.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
In what way?
He fills amphitheaters.
Okay.
He's like, if you were to say like, who's the comic making the most money right now on the road?
Yeah.
It's between him and Brian Regan, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's good. He's a talented cat. And so this one is about him. And he's of course from a Sicilian family led by Robert De Niro, who's, you know, doing De Niro in Meet the Parents again. And, it's about having to meet the in-laws who are of course this very blue blood waspy family, country club living, and I don't want them to meet my dad because he's going to embarrass me. What do you mean I'm going to embarrass? Who embarrasses? What do we, you know? And so that's the joke for 90 minutes. But it does have Robert De Niro, who's fun. It has Kim Cattrall, who I haven't seen in ages. It's been a long time.
Right?
I didn't even recognize her in the preview. I was like...
Oh, I noticed instantly in the commercial. I go, that's Kim Cattrall.
Oh,
yeah, instantly.
I didn't know that. Okay. And it's David Rashi from
Succession. My Kim Cattrall radar is finally attuned.
Okay.
I can spot her in just about anything.
It's been a while, though, right? Unless I'm mistaken, I can't think of anything she's done since Sex and the City.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But she's terrific. The whole cast is really strong. Sam Rockwell's real-life partner, Leslie Bibb, plays the fiance of Sebastian. She's really great. She reminded me of Bess Armstrong. You remember Bess Armstrong from the 80s? Blonde.
Oh, yeah, sure. Perky. From Jaws 3.
From Jaws 3.
I love Bess Armstrong.
Right? Who doesn't? Yeah, she reminded me of her the whole movie. So it wasn't bad. It had some solid laughs.
So which of the two father movies was the best?
Pretty close.
Or you just call it a tie.
They made like within $10 of each other. So, okay, you know, so it's... But they were both totally bearable. The Machine was more interesting. About My Father was more successful probably. But I wouldn't see either one again.
I have to wonder if maybe either of these will be available for streaming when Father's Day weekend comes around.
Well, quite possibly.
Yeah, right?
They won't be around much longer with, you know, a big Transformers on our radar.
We do have a big, giant movie that you're off to see.
Yeah.
And that's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What did you think of the first one?
I loved it.
It was really good, right?
I saw it probably four or five times.
And this is a cartoon?
It's so good. Yeah, yeah. It's and that's the best thing about it, because they can do stuff you just can't do with live action.
Well,
it's
and the
really
way
clever.
It's presented, though, it's a lot. There's a lot going on, and the way that the things they do with images and how he's walking upside down or whatever, like they do a lot where it's a comic book movie,
yes,
for sure,
absolutely,
and they
one of the best ones.
They've never done it as good as they did that one, right? I mean, in terms of like making a comic book movie,
no.
It's great.
That deserved its Oscar. That was awfully, awfully good. So I can't wait.
So
yeah.
there are three movies, and I guess the next one comes out either this year.
Next spring, I think.
Is it next spring?
Yeah, it's coming out fast.
Okay.
But it's got the same team from the first one, Chris Lord or Chris Miller and Phil Lord are so good. They're the ones who did the Lego movie and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I mean, they're inspired.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Miles Morales catapults across the multiverse where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. When the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles must redefine what it means to be a hero. This is a movie that's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I saw that and I don't mind.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited. And you saw that cast who plays like the other spider people? It's Oscar Isaac and Daniel Kaluuya and Issa Rae and man, oh man, nuts.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm seeing that today.
Any other movies that you're supposed to see?
Yeah, The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman is an adaptation of the Stephen King book called The Boogeyman. I don't know anything about it.
Written by the Blue Box guys.
Oh, really?
They're back already. Yes, Scott Beck and Brian Woods are the authors. It is based on a horrifying Stephen King short story from the early 70s that was in the Night Shift collection.
Boy, you want this to be good.
I really would like this to be good. I do.
It's an hour and 38 minutes. It's an hour and 38 minutes.
That's nice right there. Okay.
I feel like
it's got something going for it.
I know you don't.
Please be good.
I know you don't give stars with your review,
right?
But I feel like when I tell you a movie's 90 minutes long, that's good for
one
star.
You get one walking in. Yeah. You're fine. Thank you.
So the Boogeyman and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. That's what you're off to see. Now we're going to have to rely on the River City's Reader to find out what you thought of these movies, because we're not going to get a chance to talk to you for another 2 weeks or so.
Sorry, I'm going on vacation.
So don't apologize. You've earned,
I've earned the break.
You haven't been away in forever.
That's
so
true. But I'm thinking both movies will still be around in 2 weeks, so we'll get caught up then.
Here's hoping. And then we'll have to wonder what you think of Autobots turn into monkeys. What is this one called?
I timed this vacation perfectly. I'm not going to be around for opening weekend.
Every time I see the trailer for this, I think, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah. It just looks bad. What?
Now the so Transformers turn into giant gorillas? Like, what are we doing?
Why are we even here?
I haven't, in my defense, I haven't seen 9 of the 10 Transformers movies.
Oh, really?
So
just
I don't know
the first one?
Well, wait a minute. I saw the first one, and you know what? I think we rented Bumblebee. And
okay,
I think
Bumblebee's decent.
We really liked that one.
Yeah, it's fine. That one's okay.
Yeah.
Hayley Steinfeld's good in that one.
She is.
Yeah.
But I think I've seen 2 of them. But
you
now
bought
it's
the best
like,
ones. Okay.
Now
this, you're fine. Just stop there.
The Autobots turn into giraffes? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I give up.
A giraffe voiced by Pete Davidson? I saw that trailer and I thought, we've got to get Mike another job. Gotta figure out a way to save Mike Schultz from these things.
Maybe I just won't come back from vacation.
Well, we're glad you're here now and enjoy your vacation.
It's good to see you guys.
And
Thank you.
Read his reviews in the River Cities Reader. Mike
enjoy
Schultz.
Enjoy your time off.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.